Could AI help you do more of what you love? Workday is the next-gen ERP powered by AI that actually knows your business. We help you handle the have-to-dos so you can focus on the can't-wait-to-dos. It's a new Workday.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to another snack-sized edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. Wow, I almost forgot what I do there for a second. I wanted to kick things off with an email we received from listener Priyanka Potter. This was in response to an episode with Joel Milton, who's the CEO of fantasy sports site Splash Sports. So during our conversation, Joel said that one of the hardest parts of entrepreneurship is managing the angel and devil on your shoulder when it comes to focus versus opportunity. So on one side, you've got the devil telling you, we should do that, we should do that, we should do that. And then there's the angel telling you, focus, focus. And so there's that risk of falling into the shiny penny syndrome where you're running in a million different directions, or the problem of not taking enough chances. So this really resonated with Priyanka, and she wrote, shiny object syndrome often looks exciting from the outside. Seeing someone else follow an idea and build something big can make it feel like the idea itself is the shortcut. But she wrote, not every idea works for everyone, and chasing what worked for someone else can quietly pull us away from why we started in the first place. So then Priyanka goes on to talk about how she had a business offering VA and SMM services because it felt like an obvious entry point for her. But she wrote, over time, I realized they weren't right for me. What made sense on paper didn't feel aligned in practice. Finding my way into personal branding and ghostwriting came only after trying those paths. Along the way, I also found the clarity to start writing my first novel, something I never would have reached without those earlier experiments. And Priyanka finishes by saying, looking back, those weren't wrong choices. They were the wrong trains that helped me recognize the right one when it arrived. Thank you, Priyanka. Love that thought. And thanks so much for writing in. You listening can also write in, Priyanka did, at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. Love to hear from you all. And Priyanka, good luck with the novel. I've written a few books, not novels, but man, it is not easy to get yourself to sit there and type it out word by word by word for months and months. But the payoff is incredible. You feel like you're standing on top of a mountain or a pyramid when you've got that finished product in your hand. And wow, what an incredible transition I just made. Because speaking of standing on top of the world, today's guest is all about getting out there and finding adventure. Jacqueline Leibel-Cote is the CEO of Colette, a more than 100-year-old family-owned travel company. And they're not sending people to like Disney World. These are once-in-a-lifetime trips to places like Antarctica or the Egyptian pyramids or African safaris, places like that. And Jacqueline is actually the third generation of her family to lead this company. So to kick things off, I wondered, what is it like to step in a role that your dad did before you? Did that present any unique challenges?
I think that what has made me the most comfortable in the role I sit in today as president and CEO is that I worked in many different areas across the organization. So I have felt pretty prepared for the role in which I play today. I worked in the call center. I was a tour manager in my college days. I've worked through multiple different areas of the organization, from product design to buying to research to operations. And I think that's helped me learn our workflows, our processes over time. But then also as I grew throughout my career, what that meant for how we needed to change things and how we might need to think differently also as a company.
And so, as I said, this business has been around for more than a century. So I want to know, how does she go about balancing staying true to its heritage, but innovating at the same time?
That's a really great question. And it's really difficult as you grow and as you, you know, as an organization and employee population and, you know, post-pandemic having more remote workers, I think it's really important to maintain the culture that we have at Colette. But part of that culture has always been around driving change, being trailblazers. It's one of our company values. Never stop starting. And so it really is about how do we stay relevant as we move into the future of travel while maintaining culture. And I think it's a really delicate balance to have, I think, but we really do a very good job of really working hard to maintain what are, you know, where we came from, recognizing where we came from, how it's brought us to where we are today, but to really encourage our teams to drive new ideas. And, you know, because our travelers, they give us the feedback of what they're looking for. Our partners give us the feedback for what they need and what they're looking for. And I think you just have to always have open ears and open minds to drive what that new next thing is. And I think we do a really good job of that.
So I asked her about her proudest moment of running this company. And, you know, like a lot of people who I asked similar questions to, her answer didn't have to do with, you know, making tons and tons of money or being able to buy that yacht or private jet she always wanted. Her answer was about a moment that really solidified the mission of this business beyond the dollars and cents, but what was at the core of why this business started in the first place and what they're hoping that it brings to customers and the places that they're visiting alike.
A time when I felt particularly proud at work, you know, the one moment that always comes to me when people ask me this question is in 2008, I was a product manager at the time, meaning I designed tours and did all the procurement with our partners and suppliers. And we did a product outing or team outing, I should say, and we went to Peru and we did sort of pieces of a tour in someone else's region. And we visited an Andean village and we were with the school children. We brought them school supplies, food, and we spent the day in this Andean village. And it was transformative. It was life-changing just to see the different way that these people lived and how happy they were in the way in which they lived. And I think my proud moment there was my father was there and he was CEO at the time. And that's when we formally established the Colette Foundation and what our global give back was going to look like and starting to really get that idea and financially funding it. And I think to be in that moment and recognize and understand why we made that decision because it was so powerful and so impactful, I think that would be that's definitely one of the more, you know, the proud moments I've had in my job.
And finally, for those of us who don't have that experience of growing up in a business and being able to work your way up the ladder from the lowest rung to the CEO spot, I wondered if there's anything else besides that experience that she feels has been instrumental to her becoming such a strong leader.
I'm a big believer in coaching, executive coaching, just learning and development overall. And I would say in my younger years, I've gone through multiple rounds of executive coaching, but I would say the one that changed me the most was back in 2014. I was a director in the organization. I oversaw one department, and it's hard being a family member, being, you know, coming into the business. I had to work outside for 3 years when I graduated college, but when I could come in, I wanted to. I always knew I wanted to come into the business, but it doesn't mean that employees necessarily were going to make it easy for me. I think it becomes a bit more challenging as a family member. And so I really got some below the belt feedback from, you know, on this 360. And it was a very uncommon, like I didn't choose the raters. So I still to this day do not know who rated me, which is, you know, not typical, but it's okay. Cause at the end of the day, I learned a lot and I really had to become self-aware. And self-awareness is something most people say, oh yeah, I'm self-aware. Self-awareness is something that you have to work really hard at. And it's exhausting, to be honest. But I would say between that and getting my MBA kind of all happening around the same time, that changed how I led people. I learned from my cohort in school when I was getting my MBA. And so just, I think going through those experiences close together and having young kids at the time, they really changed the way I led, and because I knew I needed to change. I got that feedback and I couldn't have people, whether they exaggerated or not, likely not. You know, I was overly opinionated. I would interrupt in meetings. You know, I didn't want to be seen as that person, as that leader. And so I think I've changed my approach and my style. I still have opinions, but I think the way in which I showcase them is I come listening, and I'm probably one of the last people to speak when we're in a meeting or we're debating whatever it is that we might be debating in a meeting. I really like to listen to what the room has to say and all the different points of view, because a lot of times you can take logic from multiple people and actually pull it into one solution. So I think, you know, I still have opinions, strong opinions for sure, but I think I hopefully express them in a much more respectful and collective manner for everyone in the room.
Okay, so there you have it. Thanks to Jacqueline for the incredible insights. And thanks again to Priyanka for the email. You can email us too and get your email read on the show by emailing me at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. And you know, here's where I usually ask you to subscribe and do all that kind of stuff. But you're smart. Of course you already subscribe. And as soon as you work up the courage, let that star rating fly. I mean, 5 stars? I'm going to tell you what to do. Whatever you feel comfortable with. But 5 seems like a good number.
Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast, is back. We've got a brilliant lineup for you this series. We've got Elliot Hashtrudi talking all things offal at his amazing restaurant Camille. Brindisi's Monica Linton sharing her thoughts on the evolution of British cuisine. And the founders of Genki talking all things matcha. All of this plus chats about the future of British cheese and the unique flavours of one of Italy's lesser known regions. That's Borough Talks, the Borough Market Podcast. Follow on Spotify today.